Good morning and shalom. We want to invite us to reflect on the Word of God from the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 4, and from verses 1 all the way to 11. We are still looking at the theme of suffering, suffering for doing good. But this time, we want to look at how you can overcome or you can live victorious life through persecution. We will understand some of the most powerful principles of living in the light of Christ's return. I think the most powerful principle, a number of them, for you to be able to suffer victoriously, or to live for Christ, or to suffer for doing good and not get ashamed, is to look at the coming of Jesus Christ, is to live at the second coming of Jesus. Basically, is to consider Jesus Christ. But we need to consider the full dimension that we have always talked about of knowing Jesus Christ. Number one, we need to understand the suffering of Jesus Christ. What does the suffering of Jesus Christ mean? If we look at our suffering from the eyes of the suffering of Jesus, and we look at the how Jesus responded to his own suffering, that would give us the power and the grace to go through our suffering. And we also look at not only the suffering and the death, we also look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, how Jesus Christ was able to overcome the suffering by resurrection. That will give you more grace. Now, when you look at the ascension of Jesus Christ, the going up of Jesus to the glory land, going back to where he came from, and where he's seated at the right hand of God the Father, and what he is doing right now, interceding for us, that also gives us higher power, higher grace, releases more grace. But greater more than all this is to look at the coming of Jesus, the return of Jesus Christ. You see, when you look at persecution from the eyes of his Christ suffering, his resurrection, his ascension, and his reigning as a priest now, and his soon coming, that will give us all the grace that we need to have. We must also understand, number two, that persecution in the will of God has purpose and meaning. This number two principle, that the suffering through God, or the suffering with God, has meaning and purpose. The suffering in the will of God, that is for doing good, has meaning and purpose. We discover that God can use all things to work for our good. Not all good things. He can use even bad things. And persecution is one of the bad things that God uses for our good. And God can use persecution to direct us. Sometimes persecution comes and that persecution directs us. God can use persecution, number two, to perfect us. Yeah, to make us who we are, as he was perfected through persecution, through suffering. God can use persecution to protect us. God can use persecution to inspect us. And what we are asked here is that we must align all our attitude like that one of Jesus Christ. If we, number three, align our persecution, our attitude to that of Jesus Christ, it will be good. Let's look at how Jesus looked at persecution. How does God look at persecution? For God, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 21. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. You see, God did not call you to suffer. God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. Suffering is a means, or suffering comes as you pursue doing good. Just like Joseph, we have said many times, he was not, the father did not send him to go and suffer. The father sent him to go and do good to his brothers. But in the course of doing good, he suffered. So this book, 1 Peter chapter 2, we have now gone back to a scripture in the 1 Peter, just to see how God looks at persecution. We are saying that God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. How? Just as Christ suffered for you. Now we go back to just like the way Christ came to do good and he suffered. He is your example. Wow. And you must follow in his footstep. Which footstep? Of doing good. But suffering came to perfect him. Verse 22 says, he never sinned. So we are told that this is the attitude. He never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threatened leverage when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judge fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have returned to the shepherd, to your shepherd and guardian of your soul. Now, what we are looking here for is that we need to have this attitude of suffering, and it must be guided by how Jesus Christ suffered. And so let's look at some of the attitude towards suffering. Our attitudes now towards suffering. We have seen Christ's attitude towards suffering. How should our attitude look like? Now, we see here that it says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, So then, since Christ suffered physically or physical pain, you must arm yourself with the same attitude he had. Wow. And be ready to suffer too. I think that is one of the key things. Just be ready. You don't look for suffering, but once you're doing good, as Christ did, be ready to suffer. The same attitude he had, and be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you're finished with sin. Now, this is a very difficult teaching for most people, that when we suffer physically for Christ or for the name of Christ, Bible says you have finished with sin. You have done away with sin. You have completed with sin. You have defeated sin. So there is power in suffering. Suffering finishes sins or kills sin, or deals with sin in our lives. You must spend the rest of your life chasing, you won't spend the rest of your life chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. Can you imagine? You're anxious to do the will of God. So anxiety is not bad, but that one comes when you have suffered physically and for Christ, and you'll not live the rest of your life for your own, but you'll be anxious to do good or the will of God. You have had enough in the past. Now, Peter now takes us back and says, now that is our current attitude. Now, he says, look, but let me also tell you where you've come from so that you will not have any problem. You have come from far. You have had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy. That is, immorality, the lust, their feasting, their drunkenness, their wild parties, and their terrible worship of idols. Of course, Your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do. So they slander you. But remember that they will have to face God and stand ready to judge. Who stands ready to judge anyone, both the living and the dead? Now, Peter is encouraging them that look at where you have come from. You used to do those manner of evils. When you came to Jesus Christ, you stopped doing them. Your former friends are surprised that you don't do what you used to do. And so they speak bad of you. They slander you, speak bad of you. They inflict pain on you. They judge you. You know, they persecute you. They reject you. They discriminate you. But God is saying, one day, God will punish them for that. But remember that they will have to face God. Because of what they're doing, God will judge them. Of course, we normally want God to judge them immediately. But Peter says, no, God will do it sometimes. Because they stand before God to be judged, both for the living and the dead. And for because of that judgment, Peter concludes and says, that is why the good news was preached to those who are now dead. So, although they were destined to die like all people, they now live forever with God in the Spirit. Now, this is the final thing that we had already talked about, looking at persecution from the eyes of the coming of Jesus Christ. And Peter says, the end of the world is coming soon. The world is coming to end. So we look at persecution, but we get to see that we are suffering for God and for Christ, but the world is coming to the end very soon. So therefore, be honest and disciplined in your prayer. So this is another way we can be able to overcome or to live victorious when we engage into spiritual warfare, when we are praying, you're disciplined in prayer. That is one area that we are lacking behind also. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sin. Apart from prayer, another discipline is the discipline of loving one another, cherishing one another, cheerfully. Share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. Now, that's another discipline of hospitality. Another discipline, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Another discipline is to use the gift, spiritual gifts, to serve other believers or one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself was speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Father, give us the ability to look at you, the principle of looking at your own suffering and helping us to align our own suffering to your own suffering. Help us to be disciplined, to use your gifting to serve one another as we go through this world of suffering. May we get the grace even through this kind of suffering. In Jesus' name.